There's a video circulating, now made national news. It's a Chicago police body cam video. Actually, I think several videos. It basically unfolds. It shows how a raid unfolds, I should say, on the wrong house. It's a raid of a woman. Anjanette Young is her name. She's inside. She's undressing. She's naked when the officers come in after returning home from work. It's a social worker. Police storm into her house and break down the door. They're yelling. They're screaming. She's terrified. She's crying. She's saying, this can't be right. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. There was something wrong. 40 minutes later, they figured it out. They had a house. The address was wrong. It should have been a house really next door, really in that same complex. So now those videos are going national, an example of another police incident that's not only embarrassing, it's simply wrong, and it's victimizing a woman like that. And any of us who can put ourselves in the position of being there can understand that this is something that should not happen. And then there's also this other piece of it, where the city kind of went out of its way again to prevent the release of this video and that whole piece of it. So there's the first piece about what happened there, and it's wrong, and we're going to talk to Sergeant Pete coming up about police policy. He believes there's something that was done there that shouldn't be done, and that policy should be changed in some way so that you can prevent these kinds of things. But then the second piece is keeping the video from public eye in this age of transparency and calls for transparency after so many things have been hidden in the city when it comes to police wrongdoing. Why fight so hard to keep this video out of the public eye? Is that the right thing to do? Kim Bellware has been covering this for, she writes for the Washington Post. She's based here in Chicago, though. And again, I said it's gone national, Kim, and it certainly is being picked up, you know, everywhere, right?
Yeah, I saw this story all over. I had been following this project by CBS2, who's, they've been reporting about Chicago police warrants for the past 2.5 years. So I'm not surprised that they were the ones who kind of came to this story first. And as soon as it went up, it was everywhere. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen it now. The mayor has talked about it several times. And it's definitely something that people around town have a lot of questions about.
Yeah, a lot of questions. So let's take the part of it that I said, the first part, just going to the wrong house and what happened there and this woman being subjected to what she was subjected to. I mean, she's clearly terrified. And it goes on and on. And the officers, you know, they take some time before they realize that they're in the wrong house, right?
Yeah. And when I talked to Anjanette Taylor last night and had her describe it, she said that she had come home from work. She has a great memory, and she remembers exactly how long a lot of this took because her favorite show is Grey's Anatomy. She watches it every 7 p.m. on Thursdays, and the show just started, and her door broke down, and she went out to see what was happening, and then she saw nothing but, you know, lights and guns pointed at her, and this lasted for quite a long time, and she said she felt very dismissed, very confused, and also terrified. She said there were guns, it was all men. She wasn't even dressed, and she felt if she didn't do exactly what they said, they might shoot her.
Yeah, and that was a pretty powerful thing for her to say, and you believe her, because she still seems to hold the memories very, very close of the how she felt at that moment. There's the indignity of her standing there naked and not being offered anything to cover her up as they're trying to figure out what's wrong. She's handcuffed, she's naked, she's surrounded by male officers, and that image is one I think that sticks with you when you've seen the body cam videos. There are a lot of things that happen in police work and mistakes are made, but then you see like what happens next that becomes even more puzzling.
Yeah, and one thing that her attorney had mentioned is, you know, I do want to note that during this roughly 40-minute ordeal, at one point an officer, you know, kind of tries to hold up the jacket that she had that had fallen down. That didn't really work. Someone tried to put a blanket over her, but she's still handcuffed the whole time, so it's still open. I mean, she is still exposed. And it was about 40 minutes until a female officer came on the scene and she was able to get dressed. But her lawyer argued that he did not feel that this would have happened to maybe a white woman or maybe a woman who lived in a wealthy Chicago neighborhood. You made the example of this wouldn't happen to a white woman in Lincoln Park, and not because he thought that anybody else should be treated this way, but that he didn't feel his argument was that officers, he doesn't believe, saw her as maybe worthy of dignity or worthy of protection when that was happening.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go into some of the police policy issues about warrants being served and how can there be so many mistakes in this area, because I think that's another side of this. But I think that the other piece I just want to talk to you about, Kim, as a journalist, that the city kind of went so far out of its way to prevent the release of this. They took CBS2 and Dave Savini, who I know, to court. And tried so hard to keep this under wraps. When we think about Laquan McDonald and that video being held after the election and all the things in the history of Chicago and police, and we're trying now at this moment in time, this critical moment where we're trying to improve relationships, and transparency is something you constantly hear cited as something. Put it out there and let people see and hear about what's truly happening. Don't cover it up when things go wrong. And then this happens.
I mean, it hits much differently, I think, for Chicago journalists, because we have seen this so much, like you mentioned, not only in Chicago's history, going back to, you know, Fred Hampton, but and beyond that, but most recently with Laquan McDonald. And for a lot of reporters, I think it's really confusing what the strategy is, because we, you know, that was the shooting was 6 years ago, so I don't want to say it just happened, but as far as the memory of that, I think it's still very fresh in Chicago, and there's been other incidents that have happened since then. But if we think back to what happened in 2015 and in 2017 and all of the fallout from that, we had a Department of Justice investigation of the police department. We had a mayoral election that was upended, and we had a lot of calls for change, for transparency. You saw efforts by the police department saying that they were going to improve community relations. And so, you know, it is a little tricky to kind of differentiate who is acting here. You know, everything is under Mayor Lori Lightfoot's administration. The buck ultimately stops with her. She has said she didn't know about this, but you do have the Chicago Police Department. You do have the city law office that are all doing these things. The city law office is, you know, the one that was most involved with what happened with the Laquan McDonald dash cam video. But it's very confusing to a lot of us who seek this information and we're seeing what happened next from the city and from the police department with regard to transparency, because there have been a lot of promises over the past few years, and moves like this do not inspire a lot of confidence that things are changing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, so years before is when it happened, I mean, before Mayor Lightfoot took office. So it didn't happen during her administration. And she said she saw the video first time yesterday, I believe. She first time saw it. She said Tuesday, so I'm assuming, is that yesterday? And then said that she's horrified by it. She put herself in the shoes. She seemed visibly moved by what the heck happened here. And yet you have, on the other side, you have the city law department fighting so hard, tooth and nail, to keep it from being released. I can see where that would be confusing for a journalist covering it. Like, who knows what?
Yeah, she seemed, to bristle at the notion that she should have done something or could have done something. This happened in February of 2019, before the mayoral runoff even, so it would be several months before Lightfoot was sworn into office. So this incident did, she's correct, it did take place before she was mayor. You have to wonder, this lawsuit against the city had been filed last year, so that's a good question of how much the mayor is briefed on litigation against the city with regard to police misconduct. So, and this is the same thing that we heard from Rahm Emanuel, who said, you know, he had no idea until much later. And I think these are questions that reporters need to continue to press city officials for and get clarity on. If it's true that she didn't know anything about this until the broadcast, is that a good policy then, that the mayor doesn't know about certain problematic issues of misconduct or potentially very costly legal threats?
Yeah, I think in normal years they should know. Maybe this year there are too many things going on that maybe it's very possible that she's absolutely being honest, that she just didn't know. But you're right, it seems as if people did know, and people within the city did try to work to keep it, that fact doesn't change, keep it out of the public eye. So excellent reporting, Kim, and I appreciate you sharing it with us, and we can check out your work in the Washington Post. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
Happy to be here.
Kim Bellware there with the Washington Post. We're going to talk to Sergeant Pete coming up because he says there's a specific reason he feels this happened, that there should be changes to a certain part of police policy potentially that would help prevent this kind of thing. We'll talk to Sergeant Pete. Talking about the police body cams that have been released. CBS 2 got them, and they've now gone national. Seeing them everywhere right now. We just talked to the Washington Post about it. The mayor, literally 6 minutes ago, tweeted, "Yesterday I became aware of both that incident and Miss Anjanette Young's home and the video that's being shown widely. Circumstances around the incident, deeply disturbing. I put myself in Miss Young's shoes." The mayor is saying that this was something maybe the city law department was handling, but it wasn't on her radar, and certainly she does not agree with what happened there that day. So there's some clarity from the mayor. Let's get some clarity on the police part of this, because I think police procedures come into the spotlight at a time like this, and you kind of want to understand, maybe there was a mistake, but what happened there, and could it be prevented? Sergeant Pete Kokonis, how are you doing this afternoon?
Fine, how are you?
I'm okay. What do you see there when you see that with your critical eye? They went to the wrong house. They raided the wrong house. They had a woman there they had for 40 minutes trying to figure it out. She was handcuffed. She was naked. She was terrified. They had the wrong person. Did they wait too long to figure that out? Or what would you look at and say was a problem there, other than the fact that the whole thing was in the wrong house?
Well, first of all, my question would be, is this guy a registered informant, meaning that he had to have a couple of prior positive search warrants, and then he becomes registered, and you give him a number, he becomes a confidential informant. That's number one. Number two, once he gave them an address of somebody they were looking for, somebody on that team should have done the research and the background to make sure that the information they had was checked, was correct by electric bills or telephone bills or rent or whatever they could to establish that this was the right house. Now, after saying all that, that does happen, that somebody makes a mistake in typing up a warrant and puts a number wrong or something like that. That can happen. But what to me was the most tragic thing was this woman, what I understand, it was well over 40 times that she said they had the wrong house.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, nobody listened to her. But what the most damaging thing is leaving this woman standing there naked. I mean, I've been involved in situations where we've done warrants and we busted in and we found people in various states of undress, men and women. And immediately, once you secure that house or that apartment, then there's a point where you just cover this person up and have them sit in the corner. Not have her stand there buck naked in front of everybody. You just sit her down somewhere, cover her up, and continue to look for the guns or the drugs or whatever is described in the warrant. But after she's telling you 40 times that you've got the wrong place, I think I'd pull the warrant out and look at it and say, do we have the wrong place or do we not? Have we made a horrible mistake? And the most tragic part is the woman being standing there buck naked. I mean, that's inexcusable. And then the other thing is, come on, the mayor's not going to know every case that the inadequate and people in COPA handle. And they're not going to tell her about every complaint that's made against an officer. And so if this happened before her time in office and they're negotiating it through whatever channels they are with her lawyers, I mean, they just went for the shock effect and gave it to Channel 2 and let Savini put it out because he'll put out anything. And now all of a sudden you've got this thing that is horrible but should have been controlled and should have been already adjudicated and dealt with.
Well, I think several reporters were going after this. We just heard from the Washington Post. They all kind of knew that there was something here that it just wasn't right. I think, the cover up part of it, the part where you fight to try to create a transparency situation, which so many people are begging for, That's one thing. I feel like that has to be a part of the city's history and not the present or the future, or else you don't build trust if you keep trying to cover up things like this. But from a police perspective, let me go back to that again, because you mentioned they used a confidential informant, and there are issues sometimes when you use a confidential informant, and tell us about those.
Well, usually it's you get an informant because you busted him for something. And now he wants to make a deal, so he's going to give you somebody up the food chain. And you just keep going up and up and up until you get to your main target. Now, this informant, he very well might have walked into the apartment and saw a number of, say, 2222 on the door, and not realizing that there was two places, one is 2222 and one is 2224, and gave them the wrong address. And the police went with that, and realistically, they could have done a little more background check, but I can't question what they did or how they did it. But my case, I would have had somebody or myself, I would have done and pulled bills for that apartment to see who lives there. And then you watch the apartment for a day or two to see who comes in and who comes out. And this is a 40-some-year-old woman that's a social worker or something. Mm-hmm. It would have been easy to see who lives there and what her actions are. And if you don't see this guy that you want coming in and coming out, why are you going to hit it? And then why are you going to have her standing there? I mean, that's humiliating.
Yeah, I think absolutely humiliating. I agree with that. I think that's one of the things that does strike you, knowing that she's an innocent woman and that happens. The way they go about it, though, from what you can see, if this were the right apartment, was there anything wrong about the force they used or anything like that? Just kind of looking at it from your critical eye.
No, once you try to gain entry and they don't do it and nobody answers or anything, you bust in, you have your weapons out because you don't know what's in there. So after you clear, you clear left and you clear right, you clear the bedrooms, you clear the bathrooms. Yeah, and there's nobody else in there, there's no reason this woman is left standing there. And I'm sure that the investigation is going to show that it was an error, and that the problem is going to be what they're going to be cited for, if they're cited or whatever happens. Somebody's going to have to take the fall for not doing the background check and leaving this woman standing there naked. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just horrible.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Thank you, Sergeant P. That helps. It just feels like, I mean, so many of us watch it and we just feel the horror of it. You try to think of yourself in that position. And I try to understand that police work is not easy either. And that if you're going in there to get a guy who's got multiple illegal weapons, who is wanted for multiple murders, that you have to handle it in an aggressive manner. It's just the things that happened after that just sort of, I think it's disturbing to so many people.
Yeah, it is. It's very.